You know, a couple weeks ago, Pastor Tatapa was here from Zimbabwe, and he gave a wonderful message of very simple, of it's just Jesus, you know. But it's interesting that he was from Matthew 11:11, but for some reason, the Holy Spirit kept me reading back and going back into Matthew chapter 11, reading, and going back and just looking at it and meditating on it. And I felt led to go back into that chapter again today, which we will. And interesting is there already been like three confirmations the Holy Spirit has given me that we needed to be in this chapter and hear this message today in different ways. But one of the last ones was Paul started to give the message as he was praying. Paul started to pray half the message, so and then it came through the video, and it came through a couple things last night. So where are we going? Matthew chapter 11. After Jesus has made some wonderful, amazing, you know, statements about John the Baptist earlier in that chapter, he goes to the different cities, but they were not, you know, really hearing his word. They wouldn't receive it. And he says that it's going to be more tolerable for Sodom and Gomorrah than these cities that, you know, that rejected his word. But in verse 25, Jesus now shifts to prayer, to pray to his Father. It's interesting. One of the first things that caught my eye, as I told you, the Holy Spirit's really had me in this chapter a lot. What caught my eye that I kind of could honestly say, not that I haven't read this before, I read it dozens and dozens, maybe hundreds of times, but it caught my eye that, you know, we talk so much about the prayers of Jesus, and I said, wait a minute, that's right, Jesus prayed here. And if you would ask me what are the prayers of Jesus in the Bible, I think I would have been fairly confident to tell you the prayers of the Bible, and I would have missed this one. I don't know why. I just kind of read over this so many times as a prayer. So after he talks about the cities that are rejecting his word and how dreadful it's going to be because of the rejection of him, King James says the word answered, but, you know, it's really he prayed to the Father. Some translations will say here, Jesus prayed. And he prays this way, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and prudent and have revealed them to babes. Even so, Father, for it seemed good in your sight, all things that have been delivered to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, nor does anyone know the Father except the Son, and the one to whom the Son wills to reveal him. Man. Woe to you because of the rejection of me and my word. Father, I thank you. Seems like kind of, But what's he thanking him for? He's thanking him in a beautiful, wonderful way, the Lord of heaven and earth. You know, now remember, you know, Jesus is God, but we know that there is the Godhead, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, as he is here on the earth, as he is the man Christ Jesus, never got rid of his deity, but he took on humanity. As he's here, he prayed to the Father, and he's thanking the Father in heaven, and he says, you know, there's just amazing things that he says. He says, I thank you that you've hidden these things from the wise. Now, he's talking about the wise in their own wisdom, people that were wise unto themselves, that think they knew better, that think they did not need God or do not need God or didn't need to hear his word, nor did they think they needed to repent. And it wasn't that God was hiding them per se to say they can't believe, as many will teach from this, but he's basically saying, look, here you are. God, you're not going out there. And you're taking these people, the wise of this world, and elevating them up in human wisdom and coupling their human wisdom with the way of salvation or the words of truth. He says, no, you have chosen to reveal it to babes. When I did not believe in God, when I questioned that there was a creator in existence, you know, a creator who existed, you know, eternally, I thought unto myself that I was wise, but I was a fool. The fool says in his heart, there is no God. And that's what Jesus is talking about here. Those wise who in their own heart have determined that they know everything. Or if they do acknowledge a God, as you'll find out later, it's a God after their own making, a God after their own design, not the God of all creation. So the fool says in his heart, there is no God. Now, I was a fool. I'm not ashamed to say it. I was a fool. But when it came to that time when God began to deal with my heart, and it came to that time when I began to seek truth, which is what my motivation was. I didn't go to seek the word of God because I didn't believe in God, but I wanted to know truth, and God knew that I was truly seeking truth, not my truth, not some form of truth, not the relative truth that the world says, you know, my truth is my truth and your truth is your truth. I wasn't seeking that. I said, I want to know the truth. Well, guess what? The truth is him. So what did he do in answer to that cry of my heart? He revealed himself to this fool, to this fool. But I thank God all these years later that this fool was wise enough that when he revealed his truth to me, I finally said, yes, I believe, Lord. I know throughout the years of being a Christian, the years of being a pastor and having the privilege of, you know, teaching his word and talking to so many people, whether it's publicly like this or one-on-one, that so many times, and I've heard it, and it's not necessarily a bad thing unto itself, but when people begin to think that, hey, if only God would save this celebrity, or God would say, you know, this person who is well known and famous, you know, if only God would save Taylor Swift, if only God would save, you know, yeah, Barack Obama, I don't want to get that, I was, if only God would save, you know, her boyfriend, Kelsey, you know, if only God would save these people. If only God, you know, was it years, a few years back. Oh, Kanye West, oh, he's a Christian. I'm like, I don't know about that. I mean, I don't know the man's heart, but I don't know. If only God would save these, then, they're got the attention of the world, right? Surely, if they would now use their platforms for the kingdom of God, then everybody would get saved. No, it doesn't work that way. It doesn't work that way. Now, that doesn't mean that those in those positions cannot be saved. But they're not going to be saved because of their positions. And if they were to become saved, then their whole positions would change. But just because a celebrity or an iconic figure of any sort, from any field, whether it's politics or, you know, whether it's entertainment or whether it's sports, whatever, just because they get saved does not mean that all of a sudden now, look, the world is going to believe. No. No. I have no figures on this, and I wasn't even planning to use this as a way of comparison or a way of, you know, to just speak it there. I don't know this for a fact, but more than likely, Billy Graham has spoken to more people than, you know, Taylor Swift or back in the day, you know, Paul McCartney and whoever it may be. And he was not seeking fame. And I just use him as an example, but there's many others. Whether it goes way back into the 1800s and all the services of the people that came before, you know. The simple. Doesn't mean that they are dull people. Doesn't mean that they're not intelligent people. But they're people that are not seeking their own. They're people that are seeking to do the will of God and seeking to let others know about the kingdom of heaven. And in that sense, they're babes. He says, Father, you revealed it. Not to the wise, again, in their own esteem, but to the babes. It seemed good in your sight to do this, Father. And then he goes on to say that all things have been given to me by the Father. Jesus didn't even come to this earth to do his own thing, even though, again, we know he's God and it was this plan of the Godhead. But he said, when I came here, I came to do the will of the Father. And what was the will of the Father? To let the Son come into the world, that God gave his only begotten Son to become the sacrifice for sin upon the cross, to pay the penalty for mankind's sin. He says, Father, you sent me. And Father, no one knows me really except you. See, there's a relationship between the Father, Son, and, you know, the Holy Spirit's in this too, but there's a relationship as he's just dealing with this relationship between the two. He said, there's nobody knows me like you do, and consequently, nobody really knows you, Father, except me. But also all those who I will reveal you to. Jesus said in another time, in another place, he said, to the answer to Philip's question, he says, Philip, you want to see the Father? How long have you seen me? If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Because I am. You know, those people who love to knock on your door and tell you that Jesus is not God. And they try to twist scripture. There's so many. I mean, Jesus, Father, we're one, man. I and the Father are one. Philip, if you've seen the Father, if you've seen me, you have seen the Father, because we are. Jesus said, I am. But Jesus is the one who reveals. Yes, we know it's through the Holy Spirit that now is in the world. The Holy Spirit is the one who reveals and points us to Jesus. But it's all through. Remember the paraclete, the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, I'm going back. I'm sending him to you, which is myself. Because again, there's God to reveal. He'll speak of me. He'll point to me. Because you can't get to the Father but through me. So we are one, and you've given me this privilege and this opportunity, Father, to reveal people to you, or to reveal you to people. See, a lot of people, I know I did, but a lot of people still today have very strange and wrong concepts about God. Have you ever talked to people about what their concept of what God is, or who God is? Get some bizarre stuff. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand, but I'm sure some of you had some of those bizarre thinkings of who God was before you came to know the truth, right? I know you did, because I talked to some of you, and I know I had them. That's why I started not to believe in something. Oh, God is this, or God is that. That was all wrong. Everything I thought that I labeled against God was wrong. You know, if I were God, oh, every time I hear somebody say that, I go, oh, if I were God, nobody would hurt puppies. They might kill babies, but they wouldn't help pop. I don't. If I were God, this would not happen this way. If I were God, you know, if I were God, I would not allow this suffering. If I were God, I would do that. Everybody's trying to play God, but guess what? Nobody even knows God. All those who say that don't know him. What that is you have created your own God. No man knows the Father but the Son. Nobody knows the Son but the Father, but Lord, you've given me the opportunity to reveal you to people. And there's no secrets in the relationship between the Father and the Son. You know? They know each other very well. But the Son chooses to reveal the Father to those he would reveal him to. And Jesus came to make him known to us. Aren't you glad? Because you know what your concepts of God were before you were he was revealed to you by Jesus. So based on this knowledge now, all right, based on this concept and this knowledge, right, of the relationship between the Father and the Son, and then the subsequent revelation of the Father to us by Jesus, Jesus says something that is so amazing. Simple, but yet amazing. And he says that in the next verse, in 28. Come to me. See, some people love to see exclusivities of certain types in the scriptures.
Well, I believe in predestination. I believe in free will. Predestination, no one can make a choice. Free will, everybody has to come to God on their own.
Guess what? I've been studying the scriptures for a long time. They're both there. I could point to so many places they both are. You say, that doesn't make sense. It's contradictory. Not in God's world. His ways are so far above our ways. Yes, God did everything. He did it all. He knows. Absolutely. But he also gives man a free will. And look at this. He says, oh, Father, you've given me the opportunity to reveal people to you. And then he makes an invitation. Come to me. He didn't say, come to me, Charlie, only. Charlie, just you come to me. Nobody else. Come to me, just Jewish people. Right? No. Come to me. Come on. Yeah, come on. I made the revelation to you. You want to know the Father? You want to get to the Father? Here I am. I'm making a way for you. Come to me. See, when the invitation goes out, you cannot receive that invitation first unless he gives the invitation. You can't go. You can't go to the Father. You can't go to heaven. You can't make it. We wouldn't even seek after God, the scripture tells us. We wouldn't do it unless Jesus did, unless he drew us, unless he did the work. We couldn't do it. But he did it all. But now he gives us an invitation. Come on. I've done it all. Come on now. You got to come, though. You got to come. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Oh, man. Who needs rest? Oh, okay, good. I'm in good company. We'll raise our hand. Woo! He drives none away. I think it was Charles Spurgeon who said one of Jesus' favorite words is come. 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 Come and see. Come. 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 Come to me. Come. 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 Let the little children come. 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 He loves to say that to us. Come to me. He doesn't drive us away. He brings us to him. And you notice what he says. He doesn't say come and go to Moses. Come, go to Abraham. Come, go to Paul. Come, go to philosophy. Come to Confucius. Come to Buddha. Come to Muhammad. Come to Harvard and higher learning. Come to me. I heard this week, I was just listening to, I don't even know who it was. I'd be lying if I said who it was. On the radio, a pastor was teaching, and I just had on for a little while, and he's saying, you know, Jesus here, you know, so many times we hear this thing about come. He says, you know, Jesus, you know, he doesn't let people tell them to go other places. He says, you know, the scribes, the Pharisees, he says, even many today want to preach, and they say, you know, Rabbi such and such says this. And doctor such and such says this. And they base everything upon what somebody else is saying. He says, what we're supposed to do is we tell people, this is what Jesus said. And if we're inviting people, we're not inviting people to a doctrine, a philosophy, a movement. We're inviting them to come to Jesus. I loved what Jesus would say when he was on this earth. He didn't say, well, you know, Rabbi, you know, somebody said this. Jesus said, they said this, but this is what I say. This is what I say. All those other ones said their piece, and they got it all wrong. You've heard it said by them, dot, 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 dot. He said, but I say unto you, And the same God who clarifies the word of God to us, to our hearts, to show us that we have a need for a Savior because we are sinners and we're miles and eons apart from him because of our sin. But he came to take our place on the cross. He's the one who says, come to me. Come. Not to somebody else. Don't go to the law because the law will condemn you. Come to me because I will save you. Don't we make it so complicated sometimes? Don't we overcomplicate? Even when we're talking to people sometimes, just go to Jesus. Speak his words. I told you I learned that a long time ago. They would knock at the door and I would go and I would love to do the debate with them. And we would debate, man. Woo. And I get some good ones in and they get some, bam, it's like tennis back and forth. Great volleys, you know. And after about 30 minutes, I'm like, I'm tired of this now. Jesus told me, he said, just give him my word. So that's all I would do. They would say something, I'd give him scripture. No comment, just scripture. They get something, I give scripture. What about this? I say, blah, blah, blah. They couldn't answer. Now, I'm not saying that we can never, you know, obviously talk and give comment. You don't want to just repeat scripture. But the point is, where are we going to bring them to? Our own musings or to the word of God, to the truth? Come to me, all you who labor. You know, labor, many say, implies the burdens we take upon ourselves, the load we put on ourselves. Do you have a tendency to do that? Do you put loads on yourself? Do you put guilt trips on yourself? Do you put expectations that you can never meet on yourself? Do you put all these things on yourself? Well, you know what? That's your burden that you put on. And heavy laden is the stuff that people put on you. Think about that for a moment. So we got a double whammy. We do it to ourselves, and then we got people putting it on us. People can lay a lot of burdens on us. Jesus said about the Pharisees in his day, he said, you bind people heavy burdens and hard to bear. You lay them on men's shoulders. He said, you're making them twofold a child of hell than you are. Listen, we're not here to bring burdens. We're here to bring them to the burden bearer. And what your burdens are, Jesus said, cast them upon me. Come to me with all of your burdens, with all the things that you, the guilt that you carry, the guilt that people put on you. Come to me with all of the things that you think that you messed up in this world, which you did. All the things that you figured you didn't meet your expectations, which you probably didn't. All the other things that you're looking for and searching for, all the stuff that's heavy and heavy and heavy and heavy and heavy. He says, come to me. I will give you rest. How does that happen, Jesus? Well, what he does is he removes those burdens when you cast them at his feet, and then he does something else. He puts something else on you. You go, oh, no, another burden. I just got rid of the other ones, Jesus. He says, no, 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 no. He says, then listen to what he says. He says, then take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy. Say it with me. And my burden is light. Oh, man. You got another 3 hours we can go through this? No, only kidding. We'll finish in a few minutes. I promise. See, the yoke so many times in Scripture talks about man's obligations to God. And when we try to meet those obligations on our own, in whatever form we do, whether it is religious or philosophical or humanistic, whatever we do to bear that burden for our, you know, because everybody, listen, whether you believe in God or not, even when I didn't believe in God, I still had a responsibility to God. And trying to meet that, even in my own mind, in a way of pretending God didn't exist, was a heavy, heavy burden. Because it was all on who? Me. It was all on me. Jesus is telling us, listen, when you come to know me, the very first consciousness of me and my relationship your relationship to me that I made a way for. When you come to me and you leave your burdens at my feet and you take my yoke upon you, he says, I'm going to give you such a beautiful, deep peace and rest that you've never experienced it before in your life. Do you remember when you first felt that peace of God? Do you remember when the burdens left you? Now, in a couple minutes, I'll talk about maybe you've picked up some heavy laden burdens later, but I will talk about it in a minute. But do you remember when you finally came to know Jesus as your Lord and Savior and the wrath of God was removed from you and the peace of God just welled up in your heart and through your life? Oh, you cannot replace that with anything in this universe. See, Jesus says, that's what I want you to experience, but then learn of me. There's a step. Take my yoke. See, because if we just come to Jesus and let our burdens be removed by him, and then we decide to thank you, Jesus, for salvation. Thank you for saving my soul. Thank you for keeping me from going to hell, but now I'll take it from here, right? And we go as an own free. Oh, man, we'll be worse than we were before. Jesus says, no, 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 no. Come to me. Leave all those burdens and the heavy ladens. I'll give you rest. But now take my yoke upon you. There's a way to go now. But I will guide you in that way. And the way that I will guide you is light, and it is easy, and it is no burden at all. If you and I are feeling burdens and we become Christians, it's because you and I have added other yokes to us. We have the yoke of Jesus, but then let's put some other yokes on it. Or we're straining against the yoke of Jesus. Jesus says, this is the way I want you to go. And we're like, no, I want to go over here. He says, no, 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 this is the thing. This is the way. This is the road. There's one way we know to God, right? Through salvation, through Jesus Christ, right? But each one of us has a road that he has put us on. That's all our life. How many of us come to Jesus, thank him for salvation, and then want to walk our own walk again, and we're straining against his yoke, and we're pulling, you know, the yoke is what they put on the oxen, right? And the yokes were fitted right, if they were done right, that it would not be a burden on the ox's shoulder at all. But if the ox wanted to pull and pull from it, well, you know what? It's going to hurt. Or if they put a yoke on it that was built for another ox, like say, you know, Ox Sally had her yoke and Ox Mary had her yoke and the owner switched the two, well, Mary's ox would hurt Sally and Sally's yoke would hurt her. You know, it was her. They're not made for a yoke. If you're trying to live somebody else's life, if you're trying to follow another Christian and say, oh, they go that way, so I'll go that way. No, go the way he calls you to go. See, then it's light. And it's a rest for our souls because we're not striving anymore against him. See, the Apostle Paul's, you know, basically what Jesus is saying is, right, let me have the reins of your life now. I've saved you. I've given you the peace. Now let me show you the way that you should live. That's what he's saying to us. I have a plan for you. The Apostle Paul said in Philippians chapter 3, he said, I haven't apprehended this yet. He wrote this after probably serving Jesus for 20 to 30 years, right? And he says, I still haven't gotten this yet. He said, I've not yet apprehended that for which I was apprehended from Christ. So in other words, he says, listen, I know he has a road for me, and I'm pretty much on the road, but I still don't have it perfectly done. And Paul would know when he was getting out of line, it would probably hurt and be a burden again. He says, so I'm still learning about this process. And the process he was trying to learn is what God said to the people of Israel under Jeremiah's prophecies years ago in Jeremiah 29. Listen to what God said. And you could take this. This was meant for Israel, but I believe it's also meant for all those who follow God's way. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil to give you a future and a hope. I know the plans that I have for you. I have a plan for your life. So Charlie, when he saved you, he has a plan for you. And if it's a burden, you're following the different route. But if it's light, you're following his way. Now, you say, wait, if it's light, I'll never have problems? That means no. No, 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 it comes with the territory. I was thinking about this a lot, as you can tell, and I've been in this chapter a lot. And I was actually thinking about some of the best ways to describe this. And there were a couple things came to mind, but You know, I was thinking about just as like being a parent. And you try to do the best for your kids. And it isn't always the most rewarding thing. I hate you. You don't know. And you watch them go their way and mess up and get hurt. But yet, because of your love for them, and you know that that's the plan that God has for your life, for you to be their parent, you endure it with joy. Oh, it's a pain in the, you know what. And they get under your skin and your nerves, and they cause you sleepless nights, cause you anxiety and money and, you know, all the stress and stuff. But at the end of the day, you say, no, I would not change this for anything in the world, because I know that's what I'm called to do. Following Jesus doesn't mean it doesn't come with hardships. But when you know you're in the place that he has you, it is a joy and it is a peace and it is light. When people say to me, Pastor Joe, this, that, or the other thing about my life, and I go, wait, I'm fine. I'm at peace because I know what I'm doing, what he's called me to do. I know when I'm outside of that. It's a burden. Where's Mark now? I'm kind of preaching his message. He likes to preach this all the time. So many of us want to put on something else, some other yoke, after we get saved. And it may be sound good because it seems so spiritual, but you're going, you know, somebody else's road. No, he has a plan for you. Follow that plan. Jesus knew what he was talking about because he came on this into this earth and he was a man and he lived this life. Listen to Jesus at 12 years old. Didn't you know I must be about my Father's business? Listen to him when he's older. I do always the things that please the Father. Listen to him again. I came not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. And then he was able to pray right before going to the cross. Father, I finished the work you have given me to do. Was Jesus' work easy? But did he do it with joy? We heard that last week. For the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. Because he was doing the will of the Father. That was the plan for what he would do. Are you in the will of the Father? What drives you? Today, I'm talking about. What drives you? Is it money? I work so hard. I just want money, 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 money. I hate work, but I like money, 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 money. I just want to be like recognized. I don't have to be super famous, but I just like people always to recognize me. I like people when they see me. I like to be there. Oh no, I like to party. I just love the party. I love the party. The parties are a good thing. I love the party. I just want to be doing this, doing that. What drives you? I love watching the Phillies lose every year. It drives me. I'll buy tickets next year so I can go through the agony again. I hope they don't lose again. But yeah. No, but does it drive you? It drives some. It used to drive me. Sports used to drive me. It was my God. What drives you today, Christian brother and sister? If it is, then your burden is light, Larry. If it's something else, you got a heavy burden. I don't care what it is. When you know you're in the will of God for your life, when you know you're following the plan for your life, its hardships will come, but you will count it all joy. And you'll know that he is working out his perfect plan and will for you. See, when you look to follow any other passion, money, partying, thing, that whatever it happens to be, you know what it comes at the end of the day? You want to serve yourself. The only way for blessing is to come to Jesus and learn of him and serve him. And when you serve him, he'll put his yoke upon you and guide you in the way that you ought to go, the plan he has for your life. And when the hardships come, you'll be able to count it all joy. Take my yoke upon you. My yoke is easy. My burden is light. See, Jesus said to us, he who finds his life shall lose it. But he who loses his life for my sake shall find it. So come to Jesus. Come to him. He's calling you today. If you've never accepted him as your Lord and Savior, he's saying to you, come to me, everybody who is laboring and is heavy laden. I will give you rest. Come with your sin debt and lay it at his feet. Come with your unfulfilled wishes and dreams and your the broken promises of your life. Come with the shipwreck of whatever it happens to be. Come to him and lay it at his feet. He'll give you rest. And then he won't just say, okay, get up and try to do it better next time. He'll say, no, now learn from me. Take my yoke upon you. My way, my burden is light. Follow my plan for your life, and you will have peace and rest and joy. And others will follow as they see your obedience and your joy in following me. Father, we pray today and thank you for your word, that it would just hit home today as you designed it to do, but that we would have ears to hear and our hearts would be open to receive it, Lord. Father, I pray for anyone here or who's listening in or who would hear this message later as we would share it with them. Father, whatever they have gone to, they may have tried church, but they've never tried Jesus. They may have tried religion, never have tried Jesus. They may have tried countless other things, but they've never tried you. Father, let them not be named as those other people, as those cities that you said would be more tolerable for Sodom and Gomorrah than for them. Let them hear your message today that you love them with complete love and you died for them upon the cross and that you came to give them eternal life, to take their sin and to wash it away by the blood that you shed upon the cross. Let them know and hear that gospel message today that you died for them, that they could come to you. And Lord, we pray today that that's just what they would do. They would hear the cry of Jesus to say, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. So, Father, we pray for the souls that need to come today to be saved. Lord, let them come just now. Father, do an amazing work in their hearts and draw them as only you can. And, Father, for your children who have felt that peace, who have accepted that invitation to come, Lord, Father, would they even now recognize that the burden has gotten very heavy again when you told them to be light, and they would realize today that they're wearing somebody else's yoke, or they're wearing a yoke that they designed for themselves, or they're straining against the yoke you have for them because they think they know better than you. Instead of letting you control the reins of their life, they want to control it. Lord, forgive us if we're doing that right now. Lord, bring that to our mind today, to our heart today, and let us, your church, repent and say, Father, we're sorry for straining against the yoke. Father, let us even now surrender to your way, to your plan for my life, that your yoke would be easy, that your burden would be light, and that I would serve you, Lord, in the way that you would have me to serve you, and you would make it clear, Father. In fact, I know, Lord, in my heart, you have already made it clear, but I've been resisting it, so I repent of that. Lord, forgive me. Let me go your way, that I might go the way of the disciple on the road that leads to you eternal life. Lord, would others see that change in me as I follow you? And would they follow me as I follow you and take your yoke upon themselves? In Jesus' name. Let's stand. Don't run right after we sing this last song. Encourage each other today. Come up. You're always here to pray. Pray for one another. You can pray right with one another in the seats if you'd like to. But if you want to come and talk or pray, we're here for you to do that. But let's stand and sing this song. And pray for those that need to come to Jesus.